We're doing the laws of Shabbat, and we're up to the concept of mevatel kli mehechano. You have a vessel, you have an instrument, and you can use it on Shabbat. And if you position your instrument in a place where muktzah will fall into it, so then you won't be able to move that instrument anymore. So that's the concept of mevatel kli mehechano. You disrupt or annul an instrument, a tool, from its usage. So Chazal said, we view it as though you bashed the kli on Shabbos. We view it as though you broke it. Until now, you could have used that kli, and now you can't. This is relevant when, by letting the muktzah item fall on that kli, so you won't be able to move that kli anymore. But if the instrument is going to be a basis, the davar mutar ve'asur, if you have other items in the kli, so then that's okay, because you're still going to be able to move it. It won't be bitul kli mehechano. So let's take the classical example in the Gemara. There's a lamp that's burning. Okay, so you have an oil lamp, and you have oil and the wick, and it's on fire. Okay, it's you have a nice lamp giving light on Shabbos, and then you notice that there's a crack that maybe from the heat your oil lamp cracked. Now the oil starts dripping from the lamp. So the oil in the oil lamp is muktzah. Right? I'm not allowed to handle that oil. If I take a cup or a bowl and I put it under the oil lamp to catch all that oil, so then that kli, the cup or the bowl, will become muktzah. Not going to be allowed. Bisimchat. I will not be allowed to move that cup or bowl. So that's the example in the Gemara of mevatel kli mehechano. I've annulled the instrument from its usage. And on Yom Tov we run into this also, where you have instruments that on Yom Tov it's a little bit more common. But at any rate, when I allow muktzah to fall into an instrument, into a vessel, such that I won't be able to use it anymore, so that's prohibited on Shabbat. That's called bitul kli mehechano. We view it as though you've done a halachic act, you've annulled that instrument from usage.
Even if it was an accident that something muktzah fell into it?
I didn't understand.
Saying that even if, what makes it bitul is that something that muktzah fell on it or into it, if I understood correctly. But if that happens by accident,
so then it's not a problem. Whatever happened, happened. What can you do? The question here is where I'm planning it.
But in what cases would you plan on Shabbat for something muktzah to?
That's the example. You have the oil dripping. You have situations where you realize that there's muktzah that I want to catch. Right now, I don't have. I'm not remembering other examples. the Gemara gives an example that your chicken is about to lay an egg, and you want to put a cup there. That egg is going to be nolad. You're not going to be able to move the cup once you place that cup there. With that, we've basically covered muktzah more or less. Give me one second. We're doing the Navi Yeshaya. We're up to what's called the 49th chapter, the 22nd Pasuk. Ko amar Adonai Elohim. So says Hashem, who is both the judge and the force in the world. Hine esa el goyim yadi ve'elamim arim nisi. Hashem says, I will signal the nations, I'll raise my hand, and I will signal the nations that They will bring your children, Hashem says, to Jerusalem. They will bring them with great honor. And your daughters will be brought, carried on the shoulder. In other words, that I will signal the nations to bring the children of Israel back to Israel with great honor. Hashem says, the kings of nations will come to raise your children. And the queens will come and volunteer to nurse your babies. They will bow before you all the way to the ground. And they will, so to speak, put themselves down to the earth. It'll look as though they're clinging to the dust of the earth, the dust of your feet. V'yadat ki ani Adonai asher lo yevoshu kovai. And then you will recognize that I am the one who created the world, and those who have put their faith in me, they will not be shamed. So when the time comes that the nations will value Israel to the point where their leaders will volunteer to help with raising the Jewish children, at that point you, the Jewish people, will recognize that I am the one who created the world, and it was a good idea to put your faith in me all those years. Hayukach migibo malkoach. Do you think that you can take from a brave warrior his loot? Ve'im shevi tzadik yimalet. And do you think that you can take away from the tzaddik the captives which he has? So here you have different interpretations as to what the pasuk is saying. One interpretation is Esav has so much loot. Hayukach migibor, from Esav, the brave one. Can you take his loot? Im shevi tzadik imaleit, if Yaakov Avinu and our parsha went to war and ended up with prisoners of war after he was victorious, so you think someone can take that away from him? Hashem says, yeah, all of that can be undone, as we will see in the next pasuk. Another interpretation is, you really think that you cannot take things away from Esav? Hayukach migibor malkoach. You think you can't take away from Esav the loot he's taken from the Jews all the years? Vim shevi tzadik. And you think that it's impossible to take away the tzaddik who was taken into captivity under Esav? Yimaleit. You really think you won't be able to escape from Esav? So that's a second interpretation. So Hashem says, of course I'm going to let the tzaddik escape from Esav. Meaning, when Hashem is giving us these prophecies that we will come back to Israel, so Hashem is saying, you might tell yourself, how is this ever going to happen? How are we ever going to escape these great empires? Says Hashem, ki ho amar Adonai, gam shivi gibor yukach, umalkoach aritz yimaleit. Hashem says, even if the brave warrior, if it's Esav, if it's Edom, if it's these empires that took you into captivity, Hashem says, Gam Shevi Gibor, the captives of the brave, great empires, Yukach, will be taken from them. So what if there was an iron curtain and they said Jews won't come back to Israel? Hashem says, I'll bring them back. Gam Shevi Gibor, the captives of even the greatest warriors, Yukach, will be taken back. Umalkoach aritz yimaleit, and the cattle that was taken by these powerful empires, the wealth that was taken, yimaleit, I'll get them to escape and come back to Israel. Ki yerivei chanochi ariv. Hashem says, I'm fighting your fight. Ve'et manayich anochi oshia, and I will save your children. Ve'achalti et monayich et bisaram. And I will take those who afflicted you, and I will feed their flesh to the animals. Ve'chasis damam yishkarun. And the animals will drink their blood like asis, like sweet wine. V'yade'u chol basar. And Hashem says, when He will interfere and take the Jewish people out of captivity, and it will be recognizable that this wasn't a natural feat, then all of flesh, which is another way of saying all of humanity, will recognize ki ani Adonai Moshiach, that it is I who has saved you. V'goaleich avir Yaakov, your great redeemer is I, says Hashem. I am the strength of Yaakov. So the Navi had began by speaking to Tzion, to Yerushalayim, and the Navi had told Yerushalayim, take a good look around you. Suddenly you'll see you're filled with children, and you're going to ask yourself, who raised these children? And Hashem says, I took care of them. And you, the Jewish people, will wonder, is it possible to get out of this exile? Says their Bon Shalom, sure, it's possible. I will take you out, and I'll bring you back, and I'll show you how your enemies will be destroyed, and you will find that they will respect you and volunteer to help you in raising your children. They will look up to you, and when you see this, you'll recognize your faith in me all those years was worth it. And with that, we conclude this section of the prophecy and move on to the next prophecy. The next prophecy, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells the Jewish people, yes, things are tough. Yes, you're going through a tough exile, but you have to know that we're still connected. And so Hashem begins the prophecy the way we often find with a description of our relationship being that of marriage. Ko amar Adonai, so says Hashem, Eize sefer kiritut imechem asher shilachti. Where's the divorce contract, says Hashem? Show me. Where does it say that I divorced your mother? Eize sefer kiritut imechem. Where is the page that describes how I divorced your mother, Hashem says to the Jewish people? So this is a very important prophecy. All the generations that the nations would say, you are no longer the chosen people. Look at how you're suffering. So we always look back to this prophecy where Hashem said, yes, you are exiled. No, we're not divorced. Yes, I've kicked you out of the land of Israel. No, I have not turned my back on you completely. You're still my people. This duality, this balance that Hashem tells us repeatedly, you will be banished, you will be exiled, we will still be connected. That's the balance we had to hold on to all the years. So the Navi now describes it as, there's no divorce contract here. We're not done. Oh, mi minoshai, asher macharti etchem lo. Hashem says, who did I have a debt to that I gave you over to them? Who did I use you as payment for? I've never used you as payment. No nation can say, I owed them, so I gave them my children as payment. No, says Hashem, I've never divorced you, I've never given up on you. Hein ba'avonoteichem nimkartem uv'fisheichem shulecha imechem. Hashem says, the only reason you've been sold, the only reason you've been given into the hands of the enemies is because of your transgressions. It's not because the relationship's over. It's only because of your rebellious ways that I sent away your mother. I sent away the Jewish people. Imechem in Tanakh is very often umatchem. The Pasuk describes the Jewish people as being a female lioness, a levi'ah. Levi'ah is a female lioness. So the Navi says, ma imechem, how is your mother levi'ah, like a female lioness? So Chazal say it's not imechem, but it's umatchem. That the word your mother should also be read as your nation, uma, your nation. And often in Tanakh, Chazal say we have to read it that way. The Navi says, it ain't over between us. I'm waiting for your return. And if so, the Navi says, Madu abati ve'ein ish, How come I approach you? I want to rekindle our relationship, and I don't see anyone who's interested in rekindling the relationship with me. I call out to you, no one's answering. Do you think that my hand is too short? I cannot redeem you? You think I can't save you? So the truth is, throughout the generations, it was very hard to retain the belief that Hashem could. You looked at the ominous forces that seemed to have control of the world, and go believe that things could change. Hein bagarati achariv yam. Hashem says, if I let out a roar, so a whole sea can be destroyed. Asim ne'arot midbar. I could change rivers and streams to be dry as a desert. Tivash digatam meyein mayim. I could cause all their fish to dry out. No water. Vitamot batzama. And I can make all their fish die of thirst. Albish shamayim kadrut. I can make the skies covered with sackcloth. I can make the skies covered with clouds. Visak asim kesutam. I can make the skies covered with sack as though that's their clothing. I can go both ways. I can make it rain. I can make it dry. I can make the Jewish people on top. I can make the Jewish people on bottom. I can make either one happen, says Hashem. So why don't you believe in it? So why aren't you approaching me? If I've told you, says the Navi, that the only reason you're in exile is for transgressions, then I expect tshuva. You should be approaching me. Chazal tell us that this pasuk, Madu abati ve'enish, why have I come and no one is present, that is a pasuk that describes what happens when there's a steady minion. The Gemara in Masechet Brachot says that when you daven in a shul, when you daven in a place where there's a steady minion, so Hashem comes before the congregation comes. Let's say davening is supposed to be at 7. Before 7, Hashem is there waiting for us. It says, Shechina kadma uva. The Shechina comes first. And then when 7 o'clock comes, and the minyan's supposed to start, so then Hashem says, do we have a minyan? And if not, then Hashem says, why aren't people here? The Gemara says, if a person has a steady minyan, so he gets blessings like Avram Avinu. It says, when Avram Avinu, Vashkem Avram el amakom, asher amad sham et pnei Hashem, Avram Avinu got up in the morning to the place where he stood before Hashem. So Chazal say, you're supposed to have a set place where you stand before Hashem. There's supposed to be a set place where you daven. And if you have a set place, so then Hashem likes a person who has a set place for davening, for learning. Hashem likes them like Avram Avinu. But then what happens if the guy doesn't show up one day? So Hashem says, Madu amati ve'enish. Wait, I came, where's he? So then Hashem checks it out. The Gemara says, Hashem takes a look at where the guy is. If he's doing a mitzvah, if he has good reasons, Hashem says, fine. And if he's got a cop-out, Hashem is not so happy with him. So this pasuk, the Gemara quotes about shuls, about people coming to shuls. Madu abati ve'enish, karati ve'enone. So that's the medrash in the Gemara. But the literal interpretation here is, Hashem says our relationship isn't over, so I expect you to make moves in my direction. And how come I don't see that? So that's the pasuk over here. The Navi's saying, Hashem can make it go either way. Don't give up. Things can still be better. So Hashem's saying, I expect you to make the moves. You come towards me.